I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, and I am your host, Marina Ann Toons. We have a very special show for you today. We recently had a chance to catch up with Charles Martin Smith's new film, Stone of Destiny. The film stars Charlie Cox, Kate Mara, Billy Boyd, and Robert Carlyle, and it tells the story of a group of Scottish nationals who go into England to bring back the Stone of Destiny to Scotland. Based on a true story, it's a lot of fun, it's a good little movie, which actually opens in theatres across Canada on Friday, February 20th. At the recent screening, Charles Martin Smith was in attendance, and we had a chance to capture the audio you're about to hear of a Q&A with himself and producer Rob Merrillet. Also for you, something extra special, if you come on by the site, row3.com, we also have a one-on-one interview with the director. We had a chance to catch up with him, and he talked a little bit about the making of the film. Hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you all for coming, and, you know, with our little Scottish movie that we worked so hard on, and any questions? Yeah?
I'll jump in.
Jump in. You can jump in. Good.
Where did you come up with this? I mean, I know it's based on some actual events, but how did you come to find this story?
It is actually a true story. And Ian Hamilton, the real Ian Hamilton, who was a law student at Glasgow University when this happened, he wrote a book about it shortly thereafter. And a producer that I worked with years before found the book and was interested in it and told me about it at a party, actually. And, you know, it was loud music blasting, and he told me the story, and I said, what a great story. Why hasn't this been made into a film? So I ended up writing the script and getting it organized, and then I, at one point I said to him, let me bring it to Rob, who we had just done Snowwalker together, and I thought we could put it together as a Canada-UK co-production, and we did. But it is a true story, and even the gypsies, all of that stuff that went on there is what really happened, even though it's hard to believe. You know what? Most of them are. Most of them are. Gavin Vernon, the burly guy, he actually lived in West Van. He lived in British properties. He's a Vancouverite, or he became one. And I spoke to him on the phone at one point because a mutual friend had introduced us. And I was going to meet him for lunch, and he passed away very suddenly. And so, unfortunately, I never actually had the chance to meet him. But the rest of them are all still alive, and I've met them all. Kate is Kay Matheson is actually in a nursing home up in Inverness. And Alan Stewart, the young guy, very successful builder, as his dad was, had a big sort of housing development company, and a lovely guy. I've met them all, and they're all still alive. Yeah,
but Ian.
And Ian Hamilton. Well, Ian is a force of nature. He still rides a motorcycle at the age of 83. For his 80th birthday, his idea was to drive a car across the Sahara Desert. He is a rebel, an anarchist.
A bastard.
And a total bastard, by his own description, yes. So, and he was very involved in the production. And actually, Ian Hamilton's in the film.
Really?
He is. When they make the first attempt and they're strapping the tools on Ian in the back seat of the car before they go in for the first try, and an English businessman walks by, looks up, gives him this dirty look. That's Ian Hamilton. That's the real Ian. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So he didn't marry Kay.
No. It was one of those kind of ships that pass in the night sort of thing. I think these kids all knew each other. They came together for this thing. There were sparks, I guess, obviously. And then they all went their separate ways. And it's, to me, that was always kind of poignant. Mm-hmm.
How did you get access to Westminster Abbey?
Oh, that's a producer question.
Very tough. Lots of back alley sex. We lobbied and actually covered our butts quite a bit by shooting in different abbeys, Paisley Abbey in
Paisley.
Yeah. Another abbey in Glasgow Cathedral.
Yeah.
And we ended up not knowing that we were going to get into Westminster Abbey until about halfway through the shoot. After we had done all this stuff. So we got in there and they were nice enough. They said, as long as you tell the true story, I mean, this really happened, so tell the true story and we're fine with it. But the best part about this was we had a crew of about 90 people all milling about, and the Parliament buildings are like spitting distance away. There's all these cops around and all this kind of stuff. But the security of Westminster Abbey was non-existent. I mean, we were just walking around. We could have stolen anything out of there when we were shooting, and nobody cared. It was just, we were walking around.
Any other questions from the audience?
Nope.
Did you use any mats or CG stuff to kind of make the old cars into, kind of cover up all the stuff?
We actually did not do very much. The one thing we had the shots of them driving over the bridge, the Westminster Bridge into Westminster, and we did some CG work to try to make that look like the period and take some of the like stuff off of the road and, you know, lines and things that have been drawn on there. And then, but there's actually very little CG work in the movie. Most of it was just all sort of done the old-fashioned way. There's a night scene, I think, where they're driving, where we took a day scene into night and put stars up in the sky and all that. But no, pretty much, yeah, that one was. Mm-hmm. But no, otherwise, I think, am I forgetting anything? Do we? No. Oh, I think the blowing flyer at the beginning was all CG work during the titles, yeah. But no, otherwise, it's all, you know, it's so beautiful. Most of the London scenes were shot in Glasgow. And the scenes that we shot, all the stuff we shot in Glasgow was where it really happened. The speech that McCormick gives at the beginning of the film was where he used to actually speak. And the streets that these kids were walking down was where these kids actually did walk. So we were very pleased about that. We didn't, and it hasn't changed that much since 1950, so we didn't have to do much in the way of CG work.
Question
in
the back?
Blu-ray tonight. We have the print here, but quite honestly, the Blu-ray looks better. Go figure.
Yeah. Yep.
What did you shoot in Vancouver?
Oh, you know, the only thing we did in Vancouver was an insert unit, really. It was just small little bits, you know, hands and small pieces. And we actually shot them here in this room and then out in the lobby. So, but I know we have a Vancouver unit listed, but it really was just small bits and pieces. All the stuff that you really see it was all shot over in the UK.
You just completely destroyed my financing.
Oh no, actually, and then we shot the Westminster Abbey scene in here. Yes?
How long was the process from first drafting script to final movie?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because I took this on as a something that I was doing in my spare time, without actually having a deal in place. It was something that I wanted to do. So I started writing the script about 9 years ago. But in between, I was doing other films. We did Snow Walker together, and I directed a couple of things for American television. So it's been a long, slow, ongoing process as I kind of built up to it. But I think, yeah, I mean, it's really, so I think I first heard about it around 98, 99, I think was when I first began writing on the first script.
Do you want to talk about the casting at all and finding your lead?
Casting was a great thing. It was always important to us that we get real people that were that age, real university students, not to get 35-year-old actors and try to make them look younger. So Charlie Cox, who plays Ian, was 24. Kate Mara, who plays Kay, was 23. And we just kind of were looking for the best and brightest young actors that we could find. We also did a lot of auditions in Scotland, like the young kid who plays Alan Stewart, the 19-year-old kid who'd never done anything. I think he had like one day on a TV series where he played a kid in a coma. That was his entire But you know, he came in and he auditioned and he was terrific, and we took a chance on him. So it was a combination of different things. And of course, Robert Carlyle is very well known. Peter Mullen, who played the dad, is very well known over there. It was a mix of people, but I was very proud of the cast we came up with.
Although some of them are 35.
Okay, the guy that played Gavin was 35. Okay, fine. Okay. And Billy Boyd, but he was a hobbit, so you have to, you know, Scottish hobbit, you have to have him in the film.
Kelly?
Did you have any hesitation from Telefilm to support a project that had no Canadian
content? Oh, that's me.
I mean, story-wise, no Canadian content.
Well, Here's how I thought of it, and here's how I talked to Telefilm about it. Scotland is a country that is it bordered on the south by a very much more powerful culture. And I thought that this would draw a really good parallel to Canada as a whole, as sort of a culturally insecure country. And I also made the argument that you know, it's Quebec versus the rest of Canada, it's Canada versus the U.S. But they bought it. It's not only that. I think, quite honestly, is that the film is very universal, and the Canadian portion of it was quite significant. It was. Charlie and I developed this for about 5 years together. We're both Canadians. The director of photography was Canadian. The composer was Canadian. The editor was Canadian. The sound guys were Canadian. So we brought a lot of people over there. And so what we sort of said was it's a universal story. It has a lot of resonance with what Canada is up against. Yeah. And made by Canadians. So
yeah. And of course, there's so many connections between Scotland and Canada anyway, so it's not like, it was hard to find Canadian, people in Canada that are of Scottish descent, There's such a great connection between the two countries, I think it made sense. Yeah.
Any last burning questions? The film is going to be opening in February, so yep. Thank you for letting us have a sneak peek of it here. First Weekend Club is going to be actively getting behind promoting this film, so become a member if you're not already, so you can get our emails about this film, and then you can forward it onward to all your friends that you want to tell about the film when it opens. I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was the Q&A with Charles Martin Smith and producer Rob Merrilay. So Stone of Destiny opens across Canada on Friday, February 20th, and you can catch that at one of your local theaters. If you're looking for more information about great Canadian films, be sure to stop by the First Weekend Club at firstweekendclub.ca. Also, don't forget to come on by Row 3 for the special video interview, the one-on-one interview we had an opportunity to conduct with Charles Martin Smith. And stay tuned to After the Credits and Row 3 for all your movie news and reviews. Until next time, we'll see you after the credits.
Lando, the purple heather, land of some shocking weather, land of Elvis Presley's mother, Scotland the brave, land of some high endeavours, Harry Potter, Ewan McGregor, land of Sir Sean forever, Scotland the brave. Land tech computer dolls, Royal Bank and shopping malls, Burger Kings but nae Polaris, Moscow, Houston, Texas, Paris, hip-hop, Bangra, Gaelic classes, River City, free bus passes, Robbie Burns and Bonnie Lassie, Scotland the brave. Land of Mary and Prince Charlie, Adam Smith and Mick McGackie, referendum, Huron Parley, Scotland the brave. Land where the poll tax ended, land where Dennis was suspended, land where Bairns they were offended, Scotland the brave. Land where the fox runs safe, folk look forward to old age, our students get cash, they get clever, Warren sales have gone forever. Liz McColgan, Henrik Larsson, Andy Murray, Highland dancing, Murray Field, the roar of Hamden, Scotland the brave. A land land of all creeds and colours, Polish, English, Muslim brothers, land where we live together, Scotland the brave, where the gay folks are defended. Now that the clause is ended, John Knox was fair offended, Scotland the brave. James Connolly and John McLean still standing up for hungry wains, Annie Lennox, William Wallace joining in the freedom chorus. Land of the purple heather, land of the shining rivers, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave. Land of the purple heather, land of the shining rivers, land of my heart forever, Scotland.